Thank you, Matt.
Spin. That's our subject this evening. Straight away, as soon as we say the word spin or think about spin, we feel negative. Certainly I do. But spin isn't always negative. I've given it a little bit of thought. Spin could simply be presenting a story in the best way possible without lying. So let me illustrate that. Honest spin, in one sense, could be no different to my son explaining how he accidentally broke the computer. All right? So both the professional and my son present the facts in a way that will alleviate as much blame as possible. Okay, so we get the picture. It can be not such a negative thing, but there can be such a thing perhaps as honest spin. Spin, however, is mainly a negative practice that we associate with politicians and with PR. Sometimes spin is just simply an omission of facts. But increasingly, spin is a blatant lie, and often to protect someone's image. So 9 words, I guess, would summarize Bill Clinton's time as president. He said, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman." The spin doctors continued to lie about the affair until the truth could no longer be ignored. And they had to confront it and be honest in the end. Tony Blair's premiership could probably be summarised in just 2 words. Dodgy dossier. We expect politicians to spin, but what about scientists? When a story about scientists spinning the truth hits the headlines, then we are shocked. What's now referred to as Climategate is a good example. The journalist Jeremy O'Grady writes, let me quote him here, it's a rather lengthy quotation, but I think it's really quite good. He says this, "The skullduggery of scientists of climate change in East Anglia does not constitute a refutation of the theory of man-made global warming. What it does do, however, is shake the laity's faith in the integrity of their scientific high priests. And should that lead those priests to question their immaculate view of themselves, it should probably be no bad thing." Politicians spin the truth, and we can see that's often for their personal or political gain. Sadly, scientists fall for similar temptations. So another scientist, Sue Blackmore, wrote in the Guardian newspaper, "Of course scientists are only human. They want their own theories to triumph, their findings to be widely cited, and they want to get their prestigious and lucrative grants. So some succumb to spinning." I want to suggest tonight that there's a deeper problem, and it concerns our understanding of truth. Our idea of truth has changed. It's changed an awful lot over the last 100 years. We may not have heard of him, but the 19th century German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche deeply influences the way that we think today. He questioned the value and the objectivity of truth. So let me quote him. He said this, "There are many eyes, plural. There are many truths, plural. Therefore, there is no truth." The conclusion is everything is relative. Truth depends on which eye, or class, or gender, or nationality, or religion, or culture that sees it. Now, that sounds plausible, but if what's true for me isn't necessarily true for you, then truth is cheapened, is it not? At the same time as Nietzsche was another influential man called Samuel Clemens. He played with truth. Truth, he said, is the most valuable thing we have. Let's economize it. He also said this, "The principal difference between a cat and a lie is the cat has only got 9 lives." He also said this, "I like the truth sometimes, but I don't care enough for it to hanker after it. we know Samuel Clemens better as Mark Twain. Mark Twain very famously set up a great big dinner at which he'd give a wonderful speech when one of his fabulous books was launched. The speech would be published in all the newspapers around America. The trick was this: there was no dinner. There was no launch. It was just spin. So the publicity was gained for his newspaper, for his book. He was a spin doctor well before his time. The cheapening of truth can't help but lead to a world of spin. But there are other casualties. Open debate and free speech are casualties of a world of spin. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks wrote this: when there is no universally acknowledged truth, only many different points of view, debate actually becomes harder. Whose view prevails depends on who shouts loudest. Arguments are won by ruling certain points of view out of order, not because of a failure of logic, but because they might offend someone. The philosopher Os Guinness says, if there is no truth, then there is only manipulation. Without truth, there is actually no freedom. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was actually persecuted for believing the truth, and he famously said, one word of truth outweighs the whole world. So let's lastly move to what the Bible calls the word of truth, Jesus. Jesus sees truth differently. Jesus said, as Matt said earlier on, I am the way and the truth and the life. He sees truth as independent of the mind of the knower, if I can put it that way. If something is true, then even if no one in the world believes it, it's still true. If something is false, and yet everyone in the world believed it, it's still false. Jesus is true not just because what he offers works. He and what he offers works because he's true. Christians don't believe in Jesus because they have feelings, emotions and experience related to their faith. A Christian feels and experiences things deep down because Jesus is true. An interesting thing, point in Jesus' life, just near his death, is this, I'm about to quote. Just before sentencing Jesus to die by crucifixion, the Roman governor Pilate said this to Jesus: what is truth? Ironically, the truth was stood right there in front of him. The truth, Jesus, came into a world of spin to die that liars might be forgiven and receive eternal life. And the key to unlocking this, what Jesus would say, confession. Confession. When a person voluntarily confesses, they do a very rare thing. A very rare thing indeed. They go on record against themselves. Normally when we slip up, we don't want others to know. Certainly I don't. Confession, I lied. Even though every one of us in this room must admit I lied, is a rare moral act. But it's a good moral act. It clears away the false in order to live with the truth. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So tonight, confess your sin. Trust the truth's death for your lies, so that you are free from God's rightful anger and punishment on your sin. I mean, after all, you and I hate to be lied to. We will hate ourselves for being liars. What does God think? God must rightly judge it. Trust the truth who came and took God's rightful anger upon us for our lies and our sin, and so that we are then free and forgiven to follow Jesus, and from then on to argue, defend, live, and become someone of truth.